You are listening to engaging and exciting conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast. Podcast.
Get ready.
Now.
Welcome, everyone. You are listening to Radiant Culture. This is season two, people.
Season two.
So we have season two, episode one. We did 100 episodes. In season one, imagine.
How crazy is that?
Imagine. We weren't even told their seasons, but we found out at the end of one that season is over and a new one has begun. We're excited.
Yeah.
I am T-Mac.
And I'm Cookie Monster.
And this is Radiant Culture, y'all.
Yeah.
And we have, as usual, one of our mainstay guests in the building. Patsy Gray, how are you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm excited that the new season, 100 episodes of 100 Cuts. That's amazing.
I'll take it.
No, you're the worship. I'll stay in my lane of being a congregant. But yeah, no, this is exciting. So speaking of seasons, actually, people who follow things like Game of Thrones, although we talked about this, I should even cite the episode where we dissuaded people from watching that show.
Attempted to dissuade
attempted.
People.
If you do watch Game of Thrones, it's come to an end, whatever. Winter came and went, and people were, like, getting into depression over how Game of Thrones was. And Christians and non-Christians alike, and it just, amongst other things that are also happening, just led us to question, like, oh, yeah, and Champions League. Yay, Liverpool fans, if you're out
there. Hallelujah!
Yeah.
So a lot of these things have happened around the same time, and it's led us to question, Kutichi, fanaticism.
Yeah.
Is this something that Christians should be partaking in? Like, should you become so wrapped up in something that it affects your mood, it affects whether you can eat or you can sleep, or, you know, all these things that we follow that we think we're just following because they're cool, but it actually has an effect on us when they go wrong, or it's not what we expect, or if your phone can't download the latest episode and you're like, bruh, I don't know, like you'll walk to the house down the road just to get Wi-Fi, just to watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that okay?
Yeah, and I think another important question is where do you draw the line between fanaticism and idolatry, right? And, you know, when do our passions, I guess, what do you call that? Our obsessions become dangerous, you know, where we're so committed to something. You want to watch the Premier League, you want to watch your favorite series or whatever it is, right? And no matter what, if Zesa goes, you make a plan that the generator has diesel, or you go to whatever extent to make sure that you watch
it. Behind, because you actually fast from the internet because you're like, no, I can't see spoilers. if I just go on Twitter now, man, it'll ruin everything. And you actually like seclude yourself
exactly.
Just so that your experience when you finally watch it is, you know, what it should be.
Exactly.
Like, okay.
And yeah, so then what we want to be discussing today is, when does that start bordering on idolatry? And we know what the Bible says about idolatry. And as a Christian, especially as a Christian, where do you need to start checking yourself, right? Because, you know, we are meant to be committed to God, to the things of God. Are we applying the same kind of commitment to God? If Zesa goes, are you gonna make a plan to make sure that you're reading your Bible that day, or is it like, well, no Zesa today, you know? You know what I'm saying? So that's the basic gist of our discussion today. So PC is in the building, and we're gonna be talking about this. So let's take it away.
Yes. So that definition or difference between fanaticism and idolatry. How can you really draw the line? Because a lot of us are very enthusiastic about things, and there's nothing wrong with that. You should live life passionately and be interested in what you're interested in and, you know, put energy into things. But where do we draw the line between being a fanatic and being idolatrous?
You guys have very interesting questions to get us going.
Yeah.
Where do you draw the line? I almost want to go to the dictionary, you know, to look at what fanaticism is, or what, and then obviously compare it with what we're used to talking about with regards to idolatry. Let's assume being a fan is to be a follower or a person who takes an interest in something. I would then probably say, when we talk about fanaticism, that's an interest that's on, say, a totally high or an extremely high level, that's not obviously normal with everybody else. That kind of thing. Let's switch back onto the Bible or the Christian platform and look at issues of idolatry. When you talk about idolatry, we're basically talking about anything that takes the place of God in your life. So if there's something in your life that's taking or replacing the part or the place of God, then that thing is an idol. Now, guess what? Idols can come small or they can come big. I know when you're talking about the things that we like, in terms of, or the things we follow, whether it's television or it's sports or entertainment, whatever it is, I know we can come up with measures. Mm-hmm. But what I actually believe can be a starting point is whatever level it's at, if it's taking God's place in your life, it's already unhealthy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Maybe let's qualify that a bit further. What does it mean for something to take the place of God in one's life?
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. When something is an idol, okay? Mm-hmm. When something is an idol. And let me be quick to say, unfortunately in life, there are things that we tend to normally call idols. Then there are other subtle things we never think about that can quite easily be idols. Sometimes that people never even consider.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think the actual aspect of idolatry is a huge subject. But when you look at whatever it is that takes the place of God, for me, I come back to one word, love.
Mm-hmm.
Love. The things that you love can quite easily, right, become God to you. Mm-hmm. And let me give you a biblical example. I was just reading it before we started today. It's in the book of First Kings. It says, and it's First Kings chapter 11, I think. Let me just open my Bible right here. Right. Mm-hmm. First Kings chapter 11. Listen to this. Verse 1. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter. So he had a wife. Then he loves many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites,
the exotic Arab,
Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, Hittites. There must have been some electric lights in there somewhere.
Yeah, <I'm> a-
But watch this. Watch this. If you go down, verse 4, it says, as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart to other gods.
Mm.
And his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of his father David had been. So Solomon is in love with women. The way he loves these women basically takes his heart away from God. So we're saying an idol is something that takes that takes the place of God. How do you know if something is taking the place of God? You love it. Okay, let's measure love. How do you know that you love something? Number one, I've got a number of examples here. The things that we love. The things we love, we're emotive about.
Mm-hmm.
The things we love, we're emotive about. Or the things that we love, generally, they catch our emotions. Right. Human beings by nature are emotional beings, right? So our emotions, our excitement,
mm-hmm,
right? Our indifference, our sadness, our wanting to cry, and so forth and so forth.
Right.
The things we love, they connect with us on an emotional level, right? The things that we love, we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
The things we love, we talk about. In fact, some of us, it's just like, we're like a switch, you know. Even with a random stranger, if a person just mentions something, Liverpool, you see, for a person who doesn't even know anyone in a room,
mm-hmm,
you know, they can even begin to strike up a conversation.
Right.
Beer.
Right.
Right? Whatever else. You see, the things we love, we talk about. The things we love, we spend time doing.
Mm. Right.
The things we love, we spend our money.
Yeah.
The things we love, just to sum all these things up, we can make a sacrifice for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, watch this. Now, when we have this love for certain things over the love we're supposed to have for God,
mm-hmm,
then we have actually put an idol in the room.
Yeah.
You see? So whenever now, whatever love we're supposed to give to God, does that mean you're not supposed to love And I must be careful how I use the word love here.
Yeah.
Right? Does that mean you must not have an appreciation for things? Of course not. But a lot of times what happens is our appreciation for these things tends to rise higher than our appreciation for God.
Right.
So for instance, I talked about the things we love, we talk about. If you find out that you talk about, say, your wife, mm-hmm. more than you easily talk about God, your wife can quite easily become an idol.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
If you talk about Jim, right, more than you talk about the lover of your soul, God. Because remember, when it comes to love, the first commandment is you shall love who?
The Lord your God.
The Lord your God.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately now what happens with idolatry is we begin to love these things more than we love God. And it happens subtly. Sometimes it happens over time. Sometimes it happens without us realizing, just like Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
What Solomon did is he never came out with a plan to love foreign gods.
Yeah.
What happened is Solomon was just captured by foreign women. And in being captured by foreign women, his heart was taken from God. And if you really closely read verse 4 there, it actually says he was not fully committed to God. It doesn't say he forsook God.
Yeah.
Right.
So sometimes it's possible to be a Christian or church going or, you know, be doing this God thing in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're not fully doing it because you've got idols on the side. That's the lesson we're seeing here from King Solomon. And that was very bad because the net effect is that the kingdom was divided within just the leadership transition that followed him mm-hmm. as a result of this fallout.
Mm.
Hey, it's deep. That's Solomon, though. Hey, that homie. Anyway, we're not going to... No, where do you know these songs from?
It's a rap song. It's probably what? Solomon. Yeah, anyway. But what if it's your job? Like, say you're a sports commentator and it's your job to know everything about every sport and you have to stay up to date. And it's not that you don't do your quiet time anymore or you don't spend time with God, but because it's required of you to study and really know about a certain subject so that you can talk about it, how do you then really check yourself with, okay, Apasha, I've gone overboard in terms of the time that I'm dedicating to this and the time that I'm dedicating to God?
Just measure your commitment. Mm-hmm. Just measure your commitment. And everybody, without trying to be a judge over anybody, without us or anyone else trying to be a judge over anyone, somebody must take a step back,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. And then examine their hearts to say, okay, all right, this is what I do for a living. In fact, thank you for mentioning a job, and not just sports. We can mention any kind of job. I could be an architect,
mm-hmm.
right? I could be an artist.
Owner.
I could be a business owner. Mm-hmm. I could be an inventor, mm-hmm. right? But I'm so encapsulated by these things, mm-hmm. right? More than I would be for God when I need to be caught up for God. So a person has to step back and then check their commitment to say, okay, when I see how committed I am for work, I'll give you a simple example. When it comes to work, I can get into the office at 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to God, I always get into the church halfway through the teaching or the preaching.
Right.
Yeah.
You see, when it comes to work, I'm just using work. I can shift and say children.
Mm.
When it comes to my company, if there's no money, I will find money from somewhere to capitalize operations. I will find it. If it comes to God, and I can see a need for money in the house of God or for the work of God, you know, I'm a slow. You know, sometimes we're very selective in our approach to these things.
Yeah.
So a person, I'm basically saying, has to stop and just gauge. Okay, fine. I can do 8 hours straight for work. Can I do 8 hours straight for God?
Right.
Why is it that my energy is high? You know? When Liverpool is on TV, by the way, Pastor Craig is a Liverpool supporter.
Yeah,
I think we've ticked that up already. Yeah.
And would like to congratulate them for winning the Champions League. But anyway, how is it that when Liverpool is playing, you know, I'm so caught up in what's happening. I'm right there. My remember I said we're emotional, right?
Mm-hmm.
My mental faculties, everything is awake.
Yeah.
You know, if you've ever seen a person watching sports, in real time. Mm-hmm. You know, people actually, you know, they move with what's happening on TV, mm-hmm. even though they're not on the mesh because you're there, right? But how is it that there is not that same kind of thing to the things that are eternal, to the things that matter the most? Now, let me use a very loose example to just show you the danger of idolatry here. Imagine a man who's married to a very good wife who never stops talking about the woman next door. You know, when it comes, he's married, he's got a wife, but there's this lady next door. He knows the shoe size. He knows a favorite perfume. He knows the daily routine. He knows what she's into. In fact, whenever he gets a moment, he looks forward to talking to the lady next door.
Right.
Yet he's got his own wife in the house. Right? Technically, yes, he's not cheating on his wife with this one. Mm-hmm. But we could actually say he's cheating even though nothing physical is happening. Mm-hmm. Why? Because his devotion for the lady next door is exceeding that of his wife.
Right.
And unfortunately, some of us are in that place. Mm-hmm. So you, how do we know? A person has to stop, take a step back. Mm-hmm. Like I said, just check certain things. In terms of my emotions, mm-hmm. you know, and me just giving my soul, you know, right? Because remember, love the Lord with all your heart, mm-hmm. your soul, right? Yes. Right. Am I into it from my soul? So a person can actually say, okay, concerning my emotions, my heart, my soul, how well do I expend to God mm-hmm. than to all these other things, right? Gauge yourself. Be honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. You can't lie to yourself and then come up with a measure, right? How excitable, because so these are emotions, right? How excitable do I get when I think about my needing to read the Bible?
Yeah.
All right? And to watch Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. You see, how do I anticipate? You know, next week there's a new show. It's coming. You know, there's anticipation, right? Do I anticipate Sunday service the way I anticipate the release of a new album or something like that?
Right.
So when you see that your emotions, for example, I guess I'm repeating myself, but check your emotions.
Yeah.
Check your wallet. Check your wallet. Jesus is a master here. He says, you know what? If you want to see a man's heart, right, don't look into his body, just follow his receipts, his bank balance, his MasterCard account, and so forth.
That is so
because
you're
because
follow them.
Just follow the paper trail. Because the person's heart will always follow. In fact, a person's wallet will always follow his heart. A person's wallet will always follow his heart. If your heart is into something, your money is going to go in that direction. So now again, you can stop and step back and look at your money. Now on that level, you don't even need to be honest to yourself.
Yeah.
You just need to look at receipts. Yeah. Just look at receipts. Compare receipts. Mm-hmm. Okay, where's most of my money been going to here?
Yeah.
Right. You can then tell where your heart really is at. And the same thing about time. Confirm your time. The same thing about energy. Mm-hmm. Even issues concerning sacrifice. So a person really ought to come back, sit by themselves, and evaluate. Because I think we're the best referee of our own lives. We can really tell whether, hey, this is too much or this isn't too much.
Mm. Yeah. This is good, PC. Mm-hmm. This is good. The question I want to ask as a follow-on to what you're saying is, we're living in an age where, you know, obviously there's a lot of access to content, right? Mm-hmm. We have a whole lot more content, mm-hmm. more than we've ever had before.
Correct.
The options are many. We've got Netflix. We've got, I mean, if you look at the variety of options, choices that we have today in terms of entertainment,
mm-hmm.
you know, even if you look at access to things like soccer matches and whatnot, there's just so much right now.
That's competitive. So, yes, go, yeah.
Exactly. So the question I want to ask now is, as a Christian, you obviously want to be relevant, right, in this era that we're living in. You want to be relevant. You don't want to become like a hermit or something, you know. But at the same time, you don't want to lose
God in the process.
Yeah, your devotion to God. So I guess now the question is, how does one actually go about striking that balance? To say, you know, I'm a car enthusiast, right?
Okay.
Like if you look at my YouTube timeline. Right, yeah, you just, because that's the stuff I follow, because I enjoy that stuff. I love Formula One and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But I had to get to a point where I was like, you know what, I used to watch a lot of Ravi Zacharias, I used to follow all these things, but now there's like nothing. I've just got
YouTube now knows you.
YouTube now knows you. It just gives me all those prompts, right? I'm just like, so I had to, I literally had to stop and revise and actually look at where my time was being invested. Right, so I'm saying that I love that stuff. I really enjoy it. Right. So maybe someone could be asking that question to say, are you now saying that, you know, as Christians, we have to put brakes on all these things and commit to this other stuff? Like, where is that balance? In a practical way. Yeah.
I want to answer it on two levels there. I want to say yes and no. Even though you're saying how do we establish a balance? And yes and no to some things you must stay away from. No, as in you can't completely stay away from everything. This is what God personally spoke to me concerning or regarding entertainment one day as I was meditating about the word. He said life is like a dish, is like a meal. Our life is like a dish, is like a meal. And entertainment is to our dish what salt would be, is to our lives what salt would be to a what?
To a dish.
To a dish, right? So you need a measure of salt to, or if you want, you can use pepper or whatever seasoning to make your meal nice and the experience of eating better. However, you can never have a meal of salt alone.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Neither can you have a meal that has too much salt, right? You not only wreck the meal, you endanger your health. So the unfortunate part is that whilst entertainment, we can't be very quick to say it's out and out wrong. Unnecessarily high levels of entertainment become idolatry, as we say. That's number one. So, for starters, the person listening to this, it's not necessarily wrong to have some measure of entertainment. It's actually good for the all-round person. The Bible actually talks about eat, drink, be merry, right? On that side. So there must be some level of what? Of entertainment, if you want, or relaxation, or of hobbies. So we're talking mainly movies, sports, and things like that. Others like hunting. Hunting can be an idol.
Right,
going on a trail, right, can be an idol and things like that. Then I want to go to the other side now, where I want to challenge some people listening here to say there's some entertainment that's beyond just idolatry but outright sinful.
Right.
And I'll go back to the words of Jesus here. Jesus says, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. Right, if your hand causes you to sin, if your finger, chop it off. Because it is better to enter into heaven without an eye than to go into hell with a full body.
Right.
It's better to enter into heaven maimed than into hell with a full body. There's some things out there, right, that is not even, as I would want to call it, a bordering on this discussion of idolatry as such, but that's outright sin. For instance, there's certain content on TV, there's certain content on our internet, there's certain content, whether physically, that's gone beyond.
Like you can't include that in modern.
Exactly. For instance, I find it personally, and I know some people, I know some Christians will have issues here. I find it awkward for someone to be dancing to a song that disses their God.
Okay.
I find it very awkward. I'll use a human example. If somebody is walking out there making a rap song dissing my wife and her private parts, I don't know if I can pop and dance to that and find it entertaining.
Right.
Or another person is mocking my child, you know, and saying crazy things about Micaiah, my firstborn, who I love so much. I don't know if I can tolerate that. But you find out that there's certain things, there's a lot of things that's flying out in the world. You know, that's either mocking God. Some of it is not mocking God. Some of it is actually celebrating wickedness. You know what King Solomon says? He says that a fool makes a sport of sin. You know, there are people who've made sinning and doing wickedness cool.
Yeah.
For instance, I'll just say it right there. Whether they like me or not, I'll just say it. Drunkenness has become so popular. Mm-hmm. You know, that when you hear it out there, entertainment, you know, it celebrates drunkenness.
Right.
So our songs are, this is what we do when we're like this. We're stoned, we're knocked. Yet when you go back to Galatians chapter 5, Paul, he says drunkards, idolaters actually, you know, the sexually immoral, they will not inherit the kingdom of, and all these, and all those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the believer who's listening to me has to be very careful about engaging or eating or loving, like Solomon now, right? Content, hobbies, habits, activities, you know, that are actually against God. They must actually stand and stop. So beyond just saying, you know, am I spending too much time in this? Is this obsession, or is this an unhealthy love? There must also be a question to say, does this please God? Does what I'm seeing please God? Right? Because if I'm seeing that which is sinful, in a sense I'm partaking in that, in any sense is going to eventually turn me into the very same thing. So when you ask the balance, is the first thing a question must ask is this: is what I'm looking at sinful or not?
Yeah.
Does it please God?
Yeah.
Does this show, does this game, does this match, you know, glorify God? I think that's the first measure a person must actually first come to. Then supposing it passes through that sieve, like you're correctly saying, remember salt, you must never have too much of a thing. So for instance, once you see yourself being worked out, I told you I support Liverpool, and I have got a lot of banter me and my friends do about their team and my team, but the truth of the matter is, if Liverpool loses a match, I sleep well at night. I don't get worked up.
Yeah.
I don't get worked up. If I have to go and evangelize people and Liverpool is playing, there is no way I'm going to say, I'll do this after Liverpool, or let me do this before Liverpool. Yeah. No. There's not even a question about what comes first there. Just like some of these people we even follow. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Some of the people we follow on sports, you find out that in the match, in the day he's supposed to play a very important match, you can hear that he's not watching, he's not playing the game because his wife was about to give birth.
Yeah.
They even know their priorities as well. So when it comes to that, the believer must come to a place where, you know, they have to then just say, isn't this too much salt that I'm about to take? You know, and then measure themselves up, on that line. And I like what you also said when you gave your personal example. You said you got to a moment where you started asking yourself. The truth of the matter is, when the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, you know, that voice is always going to be knocking on you regarding the standards you set. And I know I said I'm answering this in two levels. I might just quickly add another one on the Holy Spirit there. That you may find out that for you individually, there's certain acceptable things that we cannot call sin, right? But that may be unacceptable for you. Samson, everyone else can get a haircut, not you, Samson. Everybody else can take some wine, but not you, Samson. So there's some people who, by God's calling or even by whatever he's doing, he might say for you, you know, everybody else watches sport, you don't. Everybody else can watch the movie here and there. That's not your standard. So, and that again is by the Holy Spirit now.
Yeah.
So even though a person must come and learn how not to get over, but some people, as we listen to the voice of the Spirit, you set very specific standards that are probably even higher than the discussion we're having right now.
Wow, that's really good. I'm glad you touched on that. Because now we also have that other element of people becoming fanatic about, maybe you can't say about God per se, but maybe about their man of God or about their church. Maybe you have that husband who just feels like, my wife is always at church. Like, she will bring out the nice plates if the pastor comes to visit. But for me, it's like, doesn't even care. Like, how do you check yourself? I think checking yourself in that area must be even more difficult, because you feel like you're doing good things. Like, there's nothing wrong with serving, nothing wrong with praying for 8 hours, there's nothing wrong with all of, like, reading your word, like, the whole day. There's nothing wrong with that. So how do you know that you've become a religious fanatic?
You know, you ask a very good question. The reason why is because as a pastor, I'm always warning myself that even we men of God can become so interested in the work more than we're interested in the God of the work. I'm writing a book called The Five Essentials a person must know before they serve in a church. It's basically five steps that if you're going to serve in our church, you have to know these things before, without which you can't serve. And one of the third point on that in that book is be Mary before your mother. Be Mary before your mother. If you remember the Mary Martha story, we've got Jesus ministering. You've got Martha who's legitimately doing what must be done.
Yeah.
Okay? Work must happen for ministry to move. Then you've got Mary who's not doing the logistical work or the administrative work, if you want, who's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And what I tell people is, guys, before we talk about serving God, right, fall in love with God first. Why is this important? Why is this important? So, for instance, you love the work more than you love God. Things are going to happen where you could quite easily be very discouraged. Because in the process of working this conflict, there's burnout. There's all sorts of things that happen. When your heart is not set on God, a little thing that can happen can be a trigger that can pull you off. Same thing with being so caught up with the man of God more than you're caught up in God himself. There has to be a balance there. Because when you're caught up in servants of God more than God, what normally happens is it results in blind followers. Blind followers can be deceived. They can be lied to. They can even be abused. Simply because, they're obviously so caught up in people more than they're caught up in God. So how do you stay away from that? Go back to the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So a person must be so caught up in God. A person must be so caught up in God. What am I talking about? At a personal level, I must have my moments with God. At a personal level, his word must be my best friend or my best entertainment. And then obviously at a personal level, we must serve in his house. That's obviously a secondary. So as that is happening, as your passion for God is coming out, by nature, you learn to balance. In fact, if you go to the book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon says something very interesting there. He was talking about extremes, right? He says that do not be too righteous, right? In fact, he starts by saying don't be too wicked, right? Why die before your time? I can open the verse if you want, right? He says, why die before your time, right? If you're too wicked. If someone is listening to me, there's a level of wickedness that can make you die.
So there's an before you. There's an acceptable level.
No. I say there is a what? A level. There's a level of drinking. I think you get my gist.
Yeah.
Right. Listen to Ecclesiastes 7 verse 16. It says, don't be over righteous, neither over wise. Why destroy yourselves? Don't be over wicked. And do not be a fool. Why die before your time? So it's just given to extremes.
Yeah.
Right? It is good to grasp one and not let go of the other. Verse 18. Listen to the second part of verse 18. The man who fears God will avoid all extremes. The man who fears God will avoid all extremes. What is the fear of God? I think I've said it before in this place.
Yeah.
The fear of God is three R's. Right? The first one is recognition. Recognizing God. The same way when the headmaster, when you know the headmaster is around the corner, you know you behaved a certain way. So whenever you just recognize that God is watching.
Yeah.
You know, God, the channel I'm watching and the content I'm about to see and where I'm about to go, that's the fear of God. The fear of God will make you avoid. So recognition, that's number one. Recognizing God. Number two, reverence. Reverence. Oh, I love reverence. You know, doing things with worship in mind. He's saying, King Solomon is saying, the fear of God will make you avoid all extremes.
Yeah.
So when worship and reverence is driving you, you see, when you begin to watch sports worshipfully, talking whatever, doing whatever you do worshipfully, you discover that there are certain things that you can't worship God doing.
Yeah.
Watching people having sex life whilst worshipping God, you see that math can balance, for example. Mm-hmm. So whenever reverence is driving you, whenever reverence or worship is driving you, you know, you avoid both extremes.
Yeah.
The third R there is a respect. In other words, when I say respect, I'm just talking about decisions we make, considering what God thinks about a decision before you actually make it.
Yeah.
That's the fear of God. So if everybody, so the fear of God makes a person avoid extremes. Before I do this, okay, God, what's your opinion? That's the fear of God that that Solomon says will keep you from both extremes. Yeah.
Wow.
I hope I'm answering the questions very well.
No, you're hitting it. You're really hitting it. And I think you've actually touched you've touched on a lot of the questions that I had. Mm. And because what I love about what you're saying is that it's very practical. You know what I mean?
Okay.
We make a lot of excuses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things you do for something you love is that you make excuses for it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You just always find a way to accommodate it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe another important way to look at whether something is out of balance is the kinds of excuses that you start to make for it. Where you know what the word says, you know your own conscience is like, right? But so looking at your own excuses is also another important indicator.
Mm.
Then I think another question that I just want to ask is that we have... So, okay, how can I put this? We have our community of people,
mm-hmm.
right, where we either, you know, watch football together or
mm-hmm.
we sort of congregate around some sort of a common
mm-hmm.
thing that we have.
Mm-hmm.
One of the issues that could be there, you know, is, hey, you know what, it's my Christian friends,
mm-hmm.
right? We do this together
mm-hmm.
and, you know, these are my boys from church or these are my girls from church.
Mm-hmm.
And... You sort of feel like if my other Christian peeps are in this together with me, then I guess, you know, I guess it's all right,
mm-hmm.
you know. So maybe you can speak to that as well, you know, where we've kind of made those sort of excuses where it's like, hey, it's my friends, so.
You're so right. I like how you started by saying, you know, the community we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Before we even talk about us as Christians, the world we're living in is generally a world full of many gods.
Right.
All right. So the culture... in this world, or the way of doing things, is very full of many idols. There are people who worship the gym.
Yeah.
There are people for whom the gym is an idol.
Yeah.
There are people for whom goals. Yeah. I wanted to, there's a message I preach called A God Called Goals.
Wow.
You know, goals.
That should be me.
Goals. There are some people for whom the hustle. Right, so I'm just trying to start off from where you started to say we must understand, the Christian must understand.
We need to even touch on that, the one about the hustle. Do you know why? Because especially in Zim right now, or maybe at the stage that we're at in life, it's like if you're hustling, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah,
right? You've got to be hustling. You've got to be pushing something. You've got to be trying to get somewhere.
Get something.
And so everyone is
on the grind.
No one's going to look at you like, dude.
Why are you pushing too hard?
Yeah. Because it's almost expected.
Mm. And the funny part is, engines and anything mechanical even has limits. You know that, right?
Yeah.
A car has a limit. You can't take it above a certain threshold. If you do that, you destroy it. Right? The human body has limits. Just the body. If you overwork, if you don't get enough sleep, that's why sleep deprivation is a torture method. It's actually classified as a torture method, just making people not sleep.
Mm.
Right?
The people boast now. But brown sleep.
You see?
No sleep.
So,
sleep gang.
So I'm just trying to say, firstly, okay, I'm coming there.
Yeah.
We must also appreciate that things have limits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When limits are broken, then you realize why everything breaks, right? From body to institutions to relationships and so forth. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Let's come back to the hustle. And it's not common to Zimbabwe, despite our issues. It's common everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? Remember, I said the world is full of idols. Mm-hmm. Or the culture of the world is we're always lifting everything else up in terms of the world. Mm-hmm. So we're getting into this river, and we're trying to basically swim against that current. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what the believer must know. When you look at money, think of the words of Jesus first, right? Or if you want, you can go back to Job, right? Naked I came, naked I'll depart. You know, when a person remembers that, you know, no matter how much of it you make, no matter what success you get, no matter how many, you might have more degrees than a thermometer and more diplomas than a diplomat, but all of them are going to be rubbish the day you walk out of this place. Mm-hmm. You stop worrying about temporary goals and you begin to focus on eternal goals. Right. What has the devil done? He has basically shifted us from the true hustle or the true goals, that which is eternal, and is now made us start focusing on the limited goals, like when we talk about money. Mm-hmm. It's just like a soccer player who boasts in dribbling but can't score. A team that plays well but can't win. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
They just get us excited, but
Chelsea.
Forgive us all. So now, let's talk about money.
Yeah.
And our need to make money.
Yeah.
The funny part is, we need money, but we mustn't love money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We need sleep. We mustn't love sleep. Neither must we not sleep. So, when it comes to money, this is what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, those who want to get rich fall into many temptations. Mm-hmm. Those were first, you know, unfortunately, the world, and some of you who are listening to me, I know you incorrectly quote this verse. You say money is the root of all evil. No, money is not the root of all evil. The person who wrote that actually says the love of money is the root of all evil. And before he writes the love of money is the root of all evil, the verse before, he says those that want to get rich fall into many kinds of temptations. So before the hustle, before goals, before the house, and the Lambo, and the yacht, and the timeshares, just know that those that want to get these things, they fall into many, many kinds of temptation. Because the love of money, the desperation of money, right, is the root of all kinds of evil. All kinds. All kinds. It's as if to say all sorts of evils, if you really trace them down, they come down somehow to the love of money. Mm. Right? So you're seeing idolatry all in the idolatry has got everything to do with love. So there are these goals that people are always rushing after. Mm-hmm. And you know, one thing a person who's listening must also always be able to do is to be able to step back or to walk away. So for instance, sometimes for good measure, it's just good to say, you know what, I want to do a week without such and such a thing.
Yeah.
I just want to do a week. Okay, how about if I do a month? And you know the amazing part? You think you're missing out on so much? And then you actually discover there's peace. I know that the person who's always on Twitter knows what I'm talking about. Ever notice when you take a week away from social media, by the time you get back, there's a refreshing that's there, yeah, that you actually never noticed when you're spending all your time there. Mm-hmm. So you'll be shocked what happens when you stay away, when you shut down the TV and say, I ain't watching TV. I can give a personal testimony here, and I say this to my shame. So a day comes a few months ago where we don't have money to pay for a satellite TV. Mm-hmm. So by default, all we have is a TV. And if you know Zimbabwe, sometimes it's just better not to watch TV. Now, it's amazing the things that you do when the TV is off. It's amazing the amount of time you spend in the Word. It's amazing the amount of time you spend talking to each other at home.
Yeah.
It's amazing the amount of time you spend, you know, being very productive, you know, doing those kinds of things. And do you know what? Sometimes the things that are losing out of our idolatrous ways. Because I'm trying to say a person must come to a place where sometimes they must be able to step away.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the things that are losing out, I've already alluded to one of them, our health.
Yeah.
Our health. Watching so much TV, my body is not rested, my blood pressure is high
mm-hmm.
continuously, and I'm always taking unhealthy foods. My health is messed up. Sometimes there are certain habits that kill relationships, like a marriage,
mm-hmm.
like a family, or even your relationship with God. So the ability to step back is something a believer has to come, grasp, and walk. Can I step back?
Yeah.
Can I put my phone on flight mode? There are some people who can't pray without the phone off. They can't. They just can't. In fact, you almost think God talks through WhatsApp, you know. Yet that in itself is blocking a lot of things. So I would encourage someone listening to say, hey, learn to step back. Let me show you something about money. A man once said to me,
mm-hmm.
because money can be a god, right? And sometimes we don't know how much we worship money. He said a statement I've never, ever forgotten. He says, either you own money or money owns you. And so we looked back and said, what are you talking about? He says, if ever you find out that there's any amount of money you can never give away, you don't own that money. That money actually owns you. So I'd just take out money there. And I'd say, if there's something in this world that you can never give away, guess what? You don't own it. That thing owns you.
Okay, I'm going home.
I feel like
home.
We can end it right there.
Yo.
That's a lot. And I think all of our listeners are like, all right, Tabo.
Mic dropped right there.
We need to now go and introspect.
No, wow. This has been good.
Yeah, that was really good. Okay, so thank you, PC. You've given us a lot to think about. And you know what's funny is that when I read the Ten Commandments, I read the first one, but I always thought it's first because it's the easiest. Like, duh, you're supposed to love God and then everything else follows. But now I think it's first because it's probably like, hey, man, if you don't read everything else, at least there's one thing you need to get it. Love God before everything else, above everything else. And yeah, sure enough, everything else will and should fall into place because it's the one, it's also the one thing that's so easy to fall into a trap.
Yeah.
Around, like you said, there's so many evils, so many things that can take our attention away from him that he did have to say it first and foremost, love me above everything. Yeah. So good. So yeah, thank you so much for that reminder. I think we all needed that.
Crucial reminder. Yeah. And in conclusion, I think I'll also say, especially the one about the hustle, you know, we're now at a place where we worship the hustle. You know what I mean? It has become like a god on its own, where you've got to be hustling, you've got to be putting in the hours. And I think that's something we all need to check, especially the entrepreneurs out there, you know, those of us that are pushing the goals. We need to check, are we still making, have we made the temporary goal the ultimate goal? Are we forgetting what's the ultimate goal? The goal. So that one got to me, and I know there are many out there who can attest to this. So thank you so much, PC. It's been real.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Awesome first episode.
Yeah.
Woo. So thank you for listening to Radiant Culture. If you do have any questions, email us, comment on our Facebook page. Maybe in this season, Instagram will also be thriving. We'll see. So stay in touch with us. I am T Mac.
And I'm Cookie Monster.
Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.